The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 20 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Elena Meyer. Here are today's headlines. Planning for Montreal's next flood. The PQ crushes the CAQ in a by-election. Are there too many adults getting ADHD meds? Valérie Plante was attending a conference close to her heart this week, the International Climate Conference here in Montreal. The mayor just wrapped up a press conference, and Corinne Boyer joins us live. Corinne, where Plante discussed the goals of adapting our territory to the significant rainfall that has been occurring.
Yes, reporters were eager to ask Valérie Plante for clarification about the sponge sidewalks, parks, and streets. This was Plante's main point in her effort to mitigate the effects on heavy rainfall experienced in July 2023.
That are here to talk about how should we adapt our territories. And of course, you know that it's a subject as Mayor of Montreal that I'm really concerned about.
What was one of the main subjects discussed at the conference?
Reporters were curious about the cost this project would have. Plante revealed that a budget of $2 billion will be allocated for this project in the province of Quebec. Almost $1 billion will be given to the city of Montreal to focus on underground pipes and infrastructure. In addition to sponge sidewalks and parks, they plan to implement sponge streets.
What were the main reasons that Plante decided to focus on this project?
Plante spoke about the importance that this project will have on individuals that are still being impacted by inundations. She strongly believes in this project, and she calls for collective efforts from the public to help solve the problem. She is excited about the data and expertise that the researchers from this conference will bring to her project.
Different reasons. So, of course, it retains the water, right? So it doesn't go straight into the pipes, so that's good. But also, it's been good because it supports the security of the most vulnerable crossing the street. So that's great because it limits the time of crossing, and also because it's beautiful.
Thank you, Corinne. Climate change has made 2023 an unforgiving year for farmers. From cereal to squash to pumpkins and lettuce, this year's harvest is not keeping up with the expected crop yields. Chaotic and unpredictable climate conditions are to blame. According to Environment Quebec, the province experienced its rainiest July since the 1940s, while record-breaking cold temperatures were recorded in May. If that wasn't enough, Quebec also experienced a historic frost in mid-May, delaying fruit harvests. Big news for the PQ as they win the riding for Jean Talon for the very first time. The CAQ was left in the dust as they got less than half the numbers of votes than the PQ. Jenny Torquilla is in the studio with us. So Jenny, the PQ is definitely going to milk this win for all it's worth.
Well, they certainly have gained a sense of confidence. They believe they even have the ability to win a provincial or federal election in the near future. They just held a press conference this morning where Paul St-Pierre expressed their confidence for future elections.
We are a solid and credible alternative capable of winning against the CAQ, even capable of doing this in Quebec City. So it means that we're also capable of winning against the CAQ everywhere else in Quebec.
But is this really as big as they're making it out to be?
Well, the PQ only has 4 seats, not even making them an official opposition. And sometimes by-elections tend to just be a protest vote against the current party. That being said, their landslide victory in the polls is surprising. Here's what Daniel Bellon, director of the McGill Institute for the Study of Canada, has to say.
The margin of victory for the PQ is quite high, maybe higher than what people might have expected, but the fact that they won in that riding is not surprising in and of itself.
Whatever happened to the Liberals?
Well, this election was devastating for them. They used to be a stronghold, holding the Jean Talon riding from 1965 to 2019. Yet this election, they just received just over 2,000 votes, placing them fourth overall and getting a fifth of the votes that the PQ got.
Thanks, Jenny. That was Jenny Torquilla on the Jean Talon by-election results. The Parti Québécois win in Jean Talon has the party feeling energized. Stephanie Manning spoke to Daniel Bellon, director of the McGill Institute for the Study of Canada. He says it might be too early to tell what the PQ's victory means for future elections.
We are exactly 3 years from the next provincial election in Quebec. So a lot of things can happen between now and then. I mean, the PQ, they now have 4 seats instead of 3. So it's still a very small caucus. But they are energized by this victory, and they also are doing better in the polls across the province. especially in heavily francophone areas. But again, you have 3 years between now and the next provincial election.
Premier Legault said last night that Quebecers are sending the CAQ a message. How significant was this loss for the CAQ?
It's significant because it's in the Quebec City area, which is one of their strongholds. It's the first time that the PQ wins in that riding ever. So I think that, yeah, it sends a strong message to the CAQ, especially from the perspective of the Quebec City area. So the reversal of their stand on the third link, the car component of the third link, but also other things that might bother voters there, like their position on public sector bargaining right now. You have a lot of civil servants who live in that riding.
Jean Talon was a Liberal stronghold until the CAQ took power a few years ago. But last night, the Liberal candidate came in last. So what does this signify for the Liberal Party?
What happened in that riding yesterday just reinforces the idea that they have a major crisis to face in terms of Francophone voters, and they have to really think hard about what they need to do in terms of regaining support among that, you know, the largest demographic in the province. And so that's not a good position to be in.
That was Stephanie Manning speaking with Daniel Bilan, director of the McGill Institute for the Study of Canada. The Coalition Avenir Québec government styles itself as a business-friendly political party, but long-standing legislation on collective agreement decrees is harming small and medium enterprises, according to one organization representing independent businesses. Here's Joshua Allen with the story.
Quebec's law on collective agreement decrees harms business more than it helps, says the Canadian Federation of Independent Business. The group has published a survey indicating that some 75% of small and medium enterprises see no advantage to this law. Benjamin Rousse, a policy analyst for the organization, says that it's high time the government changed this policy.
This law was in place in 1934. It was meant to promote a fairer environment among companies in the same industries. During that 90 years, other laws have come in place. We believe that this law is not doesn't make sense anymore.
Rousse explains that the law was harming small and medium-sized enterprises in the province, raising payroll taxes for these businesses, which are already the highest in Canada. Political analyst Robert Frank says that he is doubtful that the Quebec government will make the business-friendly changes the group is calling for.
It seems highly unlikely in the current environment that government will reduce payroll taxes because of a combination of ballooning federal and provincial deficits coupled with interest rates.
Rousse says that the Canadian Federation of Independent Business will continue to seek the attention of Quebec Labour Minister Jean Boulet, who has thus far been unresponsive. A petition by the organization calling for the law to be abolished has garnered over 1,500 signatures. Joshua Allen, Concordia News.
In-person shopping is going down. Montreal is experiencing a significant decline in in-store spending, plummeting by as much as 30% over the past year. It seems shoppers prefer shopping online, leaving storefronts in Montreal to gradually empty up. However, Montrealers seem to be gravitating towards discount stores, which saw a 24% surge in transaction volume, according to Moneris. But if people are spending less, this does not stop them from having fun. A 43-year-old man lies in critical condition in hospital after being stabbed last night in an apartment in Montreal's Lachine Borough. Montreal police were alerted shortly before midnight to a possible stabbing in an apartment in Rue Saint-Louis-Paré near 13th Avenue. On the scene, police officers and Urgence Santé paramedics assisted the victim, who had sustained serious injuries to the upper and lower body from what seemed to be a hammer. He was rushed to the hospital, where he remains in critical condition. New data suggests that more adults are taking ADHD medication. Opinions differ on why this increase is happening and if it's a good thing. Ellie Wand has the story for us.
According to new data released today from the University of British Columbia's Therapeutics Initiative, ADHD medication use in adults has increased by 17% since 2004. Physician Michael Kalin thinks that this increase might have some worrying implications for how adults are being diagnosed.
I wonder if these are being done remotely by telehealth services, which I think could be problematic. For example, there is one particular online ADHD, referral service that boasts on their website that they've made over 20,000 diagnoses through telehealth. I'm not convinced that those are necessarily the neuropsychological assessments that we would normally count or rely upon for a full diagnosis.
But according to political analyst Robert Frank, it is unlikely that the government will regulate these diagnoses.
They will likely leave it to the doctors to regulate it themselves.
According to the University of British Columbia's Therapeutics Initiative, long-term studies suggest that there is no evidence that these drugs are effective long-term. Ellie Wand, Concordia News, Montreal.
Taylor Swift's presence at NFL games to support the Kansas City Chiefs has impacted NBC's statistics. If you're interested in fashion, it is currently Paris Fashion Week. Designers like Louis Vuitton presented their upcoming collections. Another sign that Christmas is on the way, Mariah Carey is heading on tour ahead of the holidays. Marie-Elisabeth Milo has all of our art news. All I want for Christmas
is you. And that was Mariah Carey's Christmas hit, All I Want for Christmas Is You. For the past few years, the song has been topping the charts around the holidays, reaching number one on Billboard. Carey is now heading on tour with a stop in Montreal on November 29th. The Merry Christmas One and All tour will be in the city just in time to bring Christmas spirit into the city.
Il fait toujours beau au-dessus des nuages, mais moi si j'étais un oiseau.
Louis Vuitton presented their new spring-summer collection in Paris yesterday. Set in an orange decor, models walk the catwalk with the house's newest designs. Both friends of the house and fashion's most influential individuals were in attendance. The French capital is the last stop of fashion month. Today marks the last day of Paris Fashion Week.
Welcome to New York.
Turns out anything Taylor Swift touches turns to gold. Sunday night's Chiefs games gathered an additional 2 million viewers. This also represents an increase in female demographics, especially in young women. Viewers reached an all-time high since the 2023 Super Bowl with a whopping 29 million viewers. A report shared that sales for Kelce's jersey suffered a 400% increase. On another note, Montreal's largest mural was inaugurated in Griffintown. Named Ligne du Temps, the piece of art represents the history of the neighborhood. It is located on the walls of L'École de Technologie Supérieure.
Thank you, Marie-Elisabeth. The Montreal Canadiens had a thrilling overtime win against the Toronto Maple Leafs Monday Night Football sees the Seattle Seahawks overtake the New York Giants, and the Blue Jays play tonight for a chance at the World Series. Finn Lean has all the sports highlights for us.
Working against Lilligren. Turned back against Lilligren, looks for the captain and hands it off. Back to Caulfield! Off the post! Rebound scores! The Canadiens have won it!
The Montreal Canadiens had a nail-biter overtime win last night against the Leafs in Toronto last night. The Habs were trailing for most of the game and were down in the third period when they came back and tied the game before the buzzer sounded. Overtime had just started when the captain, Nick Suzuki, scored the tie-breaking goal just a few seconds into the overtime period. The Habs finished near the bottom last season and are now looking to improve their record this upcoming season.
This one's picked! Back the other way, Witherspoon! Devin Witherspoon cuts back! What a night for the rookie! You think they love him in Seattle? How about 6 points?
Turning now to week four of Monday Night Football, where the Seattle Seahawks had a dominating win against the New York Giants in New Jersey last night. Saquon Barkley was still missing, though, from the Giants last night due to an injury, a contributing factor to their loss. This is the second time the Giants have been crushed in front of their hometown crowd. The Giants will be in Miami this weekend, and the Seahawks will have the week off before going to Cincinnati next week.
14 straight wins now for Coco Gauff. the joint longest of the season.
The China Open of tennis is happening right now in Beijing, where American superstar player Coco Gauff won the round of 32 against Petra Martic from Croatia. The score was 7-5 in the first round. Martic won the second round 7-5, and Gauff won the final round 7-6. This win puts her into the round of 16, where she will play tomorrow against Veronika Kudermetova from Russia. Also in sports, and a bit closer to home, is the Blue Jays game tonight. The wild card round of the MLB playoffs start tonight, where Toronto will face the Minnesota Twins in a best 2 out of 3. The Twins have a high loss record, but the Jays cannot let that get to them, since the previous 6 times they've both met this season, they only won half the games. And if the Jays win this round, they'll face the Houston Astros in the division series. And for today, that's what's happening in the sports world.
Thanks, Finn. That was Finn Lean covering sports this morning. As Halloween is right around the corner, ice cream shops are usually closed for the season. But many ice cream vendors are noticing that summer is increasingly out of sync, stretching well into fall. Ice cream businesses in the city have decided to take advantage of the bargains on offer as fall takes on a summer feel. Who knows, ice cream might be on the menu for Thanksgiving. Temperatures should reach around 25 degrees today and a record high of 28 degrees tomorrow. Swap your tank tops for raincoats this weekend, as temperatures will gradually decrease, reaching a low of 15 degrees with chances of rain here and there, especially on Saturday. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Elena Meyer. We'll be right back.